In a world full of bizarre events, unsolved mysteries, and a billion stories from all corners of the globe, some news gets lost in the shuffle. This is your gateway to the stories on the fringe of the mainstream map. These are your dispatches in the dark. I'm Ben Bolin, and this is the Strange News Daily. Our first story today takes us to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, more often known as North Korea, where the notorious Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un has ruled since December of 2011. The so-called Hermit Kingdom has been accused of numerous human rights violations, and its bellicose pursuit of nuclear weapons has also been the subject of regular criticism in the international community. For decades, the people of North Korea labored under extreme hardship, confronting privation, disease, and famine while under the thumb of an infamously brutal authoritarian regime. In the uncertain time of the coronavirus, the rest of the world has been anxious to get a better picture of how COVID is affecting this nation, and a new rumor is only adding fuel to the fire of speculation. South Korea's Chosun Ilbo recently reported Kim Jong-un may be delegating more power to family members, with the announcement this week that his younger sister, Kim Yo-jong, is taking leadership reins and issuing orders to the Workers' Party, the largest and ruling political party of the country. Unidentified sources speaking with Chosun note Kim Yo-jong is increasingly filling in for her brother while he is away. His official reason for the absence is being described as countryside tours. Quote, Kim Yo-jong's presence stands out, not least in the circulation of instructions issued in her name. The source says she is taking care of all party business whenever Kim Jong-un is on a tour of the provinces. Kim Yo-jong's official title is given as First Deputy Director of the Central Committee, but there's nothing much more specific about her duties. Rumor has it Kim Yo-jong is now in charge of everything except for military affairs. She previously had a senior job at the Propaganda and Agitation Department, but now seems to have moved to the more powerful Organization and Guidance Department. While it is certainly not unusual nor unprecedented for despots to keep the levers of power close to home within their immediate family, observers wonder whether this signals a significant shift in the country's governance. Of course, the elephant in the room here is a single question. Does Kim Jong-un himself have COVID-19? Two important notes here. First, the Chosun publication has often been accused of fear-mongering, spreading anti-North Korean propaganda, and so on. So these reports must still be placed squarely in the realm of rumor until verified by other sources. Second, experts still aren't sure how COVID-19 is impacting North Korea. Food prices seem to have spiked, and the country has solicited aid. But as of today, the government of North Korea continues to deny that any infections have occurred within the country. Our second story today, forgery and fraud. It turns out that all 16 Dead Sea Scroll fragments in Washington, D.C.'s Museum of the Bible have been revealed to be forgeries, and modern ones at that. The ancient Hebrew text, collectively known as the Dead Sea Scrolls, at least the real ones, are roughly 900 full and partial scrolls in all. They're found stored in clay jars. They were first discovered scattered in various caves near what was once the settlement of Qumran, just north of the Dead Sea. Bedouin shepherds made this discovery in 1946 to 1947. Today, almost all of the authentic Dead Sea Scrolls are housed in the Shrine of the Book at the Israel Museum in Jerusalem. The full report on the fraud comes from Colette Lowell at Art Fraud Insights. She reveals that, quote, none of the textual fragments in the Museum of the Bible's Dead Sea Scroll collection are authentic. Continuing, moreover, each exhibits characteristics that suggest they are deliberate forgeries created in the 20th century with the intent to mimic authentic Dead Sea Scroll fragments. Lull and her colleagues deployed a comprehensive set of imaging techniques in their analysis. This is what led them to determine that all 16 fragments were, in fact, counterfeit. After the initial test, 6 fragments were subjected to more in-depth analysis using different wavelengths of light and high magnification, as well as analysis of the materials involved. You see, most authentic Dead Sea Scrolls are written on a hybrid of parchment and leather. The leather is usually based on the skins of cattle, sheep, or goats. Parchment is typically made from animal skins with the hair and fatty residues removed via enzymatic or similar treatments. At least that's the case in ancient times. However, the Museum of the Bible's fragments are made of scraps of ancient leather rather than parchment. They are possibly remnants of old Roman-era shoes taken from an archaeological dig. There are holes in many of these fragments that bear a strange resemblance to the lacing holes that are found in the remains of those ancient Roman shoes. The CEO of the museum, Harry Hargrove, told National Geographic that his organization considers themselves to be victims of fraud. However, this doesn't spell the end of the museum. While the Museum of the Bible is pretty new, it has a significant bankroll. The $400 million nonprofit Museum of the Bible was founded by the billionaire Steve Green, an evangelical Christian and president of a chain of craft stores called Hobby Lobby. This is also, we should note, not the first time the museum has been faced with a fraud in its collection. In 2019, the museum had to replace a miniature Bible that was purported to be one of several carried to the moon on a NASA space mission in 1971. The author Carol Mersch, who received 10 of these lunar Bibles from John Stout, a NASA chaplain, had doubts about the authenticity of this one based on the engraved serial number. The authentic Bibles all had 5 digits in their serial numbers, but this one only had 3. And people have been asking about the museum's Dead Sea Scroll fragments since all the way back in 2016, when scholars noted inconsistencies in the inscribed writing when compared to authentic Dead Sea Scroll fragments, as well as some of those suspicious physical anomalies we mentioned earlier. In 2018, 5 of these fragments were tested by the Federal Institute for Materials Research in Germany, and this institute found that these fragments were forgeries. This is what prompted the Museum of the Bible to hire Art Fraud Insights to analyze the entirety of the fragment collection. While the museum itself has undeniably ruffled some feathers, their staff has done due diligence by engaging in this investigation. Despite the unfavorable results, Chief Curatorial Officer Jeffrey Kloa notes this was the right thing to do, saying, quote, "The sophisticated and costly methods employed to discover the truth about our collection could be used to shed light on other suspicious fragments and perhaps even be effective in uncovering who is responsible for these forgeries." And that's right, folks. At the time of this recording, the Dead Sea Scroll fragment forger has yet to be found. Our last story for today takes us back to Colombia, where one bizarre legacy of drug kingpin Pablo Escobar may actually be helping the country. You see, during his time as one of the world's most successful drug tycoons, Escobar did a lot of unusual things, in addition to the usual murder, terrorism, and drug running. High on his list of weird desires, Pablo Escobar wanted to have a menagerie of non-native exotic animals roaming the grounds of his palatial estate. And those animals didn't just disappear when Escobar went down. In fact, many of the animals ended up in zoos, but 4 wild hippos found a life of their own, escaping to the wild and growing to a population of an estimated 80 hippos. This hippopotamus population is an interesting but invasive species, and today most of the locals view them as giant pests. Literally, giant pests. However, according to new research, Escobar's hippos might not be that out of place after all. In fact, they interact with their environment in a way similar to the ancient Himachina paradoxa. That's a llama-esque creature that roamed the same area of the world during the late Pleistocene, around 100,000 years ago. A new study argues that this odd hippo colony may actually be filling the role left behind by these long-extinct llama-like creatures. The study compares the qualities of these extinct creatures with the hippos, their newly introduced counterparts, and argues that the hippos are providing a benefit to the ecosystem similar to other dislocated animal populations. Think, for instance, of camels in Australia or feral horses in the Americas. John Rowan, a paleontologist at the University of Massachusetts Amherst and the author of the study, writes, "While they might look really different in terms of how they influence ecosystems, they, meaning these long-extinct llamas and the hippos, are actually not that different. A hippopotamus and an ancient llama might sound pretty distinct from each other, but they eat the same kind of food. They weigh about the same. They digest their meals in a similar way. So it turns out, yes, these hippos could actually be good for the environment." Rowan argues that, evolutionarily speaking, yes, invasive species are probably not supposed to be in the places where they now roam hither and yon, wild and free. But every so often, they just happen to fit in ecologically. Rowan sums it up by saying this: "That question of should they be here is kind of bogus because they are really similar to these extinct critters." One last note, and a very important one. If you are lucky enough to see a hippo in the wild, even a cute one, do not try to give it a cuddle. Despite their sweet appearance, hippos are one of the most dangerous land animals on the planet. They're responsible for an estimated 500 deaths per year on the continent of Africa. That's all for now. We've been asking you to chime in with suggestions for stories you think your fellow listeners should know about, or your bad dad jokes, or your personal experience with COVID-19. You can let us know by tagging #StrangeDaily on Twitter. Here are some of your recent responses. Beth Gilmore writes in to say, "Have you seen the Hellier documentary? It has green Kentucky goblins. It's amazing." Green Kentucky goblins were new to our team, but we can't wait to check them out soon. Next, let's go to Kat V. Kat says, "People seriously need to stop hoarding supplies. I'm sure it's not most of your listeners, but maybe remind them to remind their friends. My mom can't find alcohol swabs or other essential disinfectant items that she needs for work. She's a nurse." Thank you for this important point, Kat. Here's hoping that everyone listening is able to find the supplies they need. #StopHoarding. Our last Strange Daily report comes to us from Mike, aka Meandering Into Midlife. Mike says, "What are listeners doing to combat the sense of blah that seems to be settling in as the days go by? I'm the type that's usually out and about just to do so, so being limited in my mobility is taking its toll. I am practicing social distancing, though." Great question, Mike, and thanks for writing in. How about you, listeners? What are you doing to combat the ennui, dare I say, the existential dread of living in quarantine? If you'd like to share your story, please do. Join us on Twitter. Tag your post, Strange Daily. We look forward to hearing from you. You can also find me directly at Ben Bolin HSW on Twitter or at Ben Bolin on Instagram. Thanks as always to our super producer, Dylan Fagan, our research associate, Sam Teagarden, and thanks to you. I'm Ben Bolin. We'll see you tomorrow. And until then, stay strange.